I want to take a portion of our second reading from James's letter, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. If you're making use of the Pew Bible, you can find that text on page 1199. James chapter 1, and beginning at verse 19, which I'd like us to look at quickly again. James chapter 1, page 1199, if you're using the Pew Bible. James chapter 1, and beginning at verse 19. And James, writing, and James is traditionally identified as the half-brother of Jesus. Jesus had brothers and sisters, we're told that in the Gospels. And the first one that's mentioned is Jacob, or James as we would call him. And he had other brothers and so on. James featured large in the early church, and in particular the Council of Jerusalem, and as it's recorded for us in Acts 15. He is writing, we're told, in the beginning of the first chapter to the scattered tribes, 12 tribes, which we think perhaps different communities of Jewish believers. And in verse 19, he says, "Know this, my beloved brothers or sisters, as the case may be, or fellow believers is what he means. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. And therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once he forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in all that he does." This morning I want to talk about hearing the word and doing the word. Hearing the word and doing the word. Indeed, by any biblical measure, either in the Old Testament or the New Testament, the hearing of God's word is always meant to result in the doing of God's word. And any disruption in this intended sequence of events is said never to result in anything good. Indeed, one well-known example of this principle is found at the end of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, and beginning at verse 24, Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." And so we come to the first thing, and that is the hearing of the word, because indeed you can't do the word until you first heard it. And notice again those first three verses 19 through 21. "And now this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires, and therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness, with humility, the implanted word, which is able to save your soul." And so James says, "Know this, my beloved brothers," sir. And he says, "Let every person," that is, everyone who claims to be a believer in Jesus Christ, let everyone be quick to hear. Or as Peterson puts it in the Message, lead with your ears. Be quick to hear. Be ready to hear and understand what God is saying. Interestingly enough, Stephen Covey, in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, wrote this about listening. He said, most people don't listen with the intent to understand. Rather, they listen with the intent to reply. I think I wrote that down because I resemble it. They could have put my picture, I think, right next to the statement. But you don't do that, do you? Most people don't listen with the intent to understand. Rather, they listen with the intent to reply. But James says, be quick to hear. And slow to speak, he says. In fact, a Latin writer, Publilius, Sirius, writing in the 1st century BC, wrote this, I have often regretted my speaking, but never my silence. I have often regretted my speaking, but never my silence. And so James says in verse 19, be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. And James continues in verse 20 with unpacking that a bit. For the anger of man, or as we have it in the New Living Translation, human anger, does not produce the righteousness of God, or as we have it in the New Living Translation, that is the righteousness that God desires from us. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Indeed, all that God desires of us, and you know this, is what? Grounded in love. Love for God and love for neighbor. In fact, Jesus put those two together when he was being questioned by a Pharisee and gave us what we've commonly referred to and is some of our liturgies, the so-called summary of the law. And so Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so all that God desires of us is grounded in love, love for God and love for neighbor. And we might ask, and so how often is our anger actually grounded in love for God and love for neighbor? Or to put it in another way, how often is our anger truly good and truly right? Along these lines, someone has written this, quote, my experience is not that people get angry so much about the things which threaten what is truly good and truly right in God's eyes. More often than not, what angers most people is that which seems to threaten the achievement of their personal happiness, that which stands in the way of them getting their own way. Of course, in a culture in which the achievement of personal happiness is regarded as a divine right, anger about not getting one's own way automatically becomes a righteous cause, a battle against evil. And no one feels more righteous than the person who feels that he or she must fight against whatever it might be that is keeping him or her from getting his or her own way. And if this is true, and it rings true to me, then what James is saying is right, and his directive to us is spiritually sound. And so James says, be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And James continues in verse 21, and therefore put away or put off like old dirty clothes all filthiness, that is, moral corruption, or what Peterson calls in the Message, spoiled virtue. put away all filthiness, moral corruption, and rampant excess of wickedness. It's quite a sentence, isn't it? I think in the King James it was superfluity of naughtiness, as I remember. He's saying is stop sinning. Verse 21, and receive with meekness, that is with humility, indeed in deference to God from whom the word ultimately comes. Receive with meekness the implanted word, or the word that implants, which is able to save your souls. Indeed, this implanting of the word is a fulfillment, if you like, of the new covenant that is ours in Christ, as spoken about by the prophet Ezekiel and Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31 and verse 33. And for this is the covenant that I will make, declares the Lord, and I will put my law within them. That's the implanted word. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the implanted word. And James says it's salvific. It has power to change and redeem and transform and deliver. Indeed, he says, and receive with meekness, with humility. God is God and I am not. Lead me, Lord. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And so that's the first thing. The hearing of the word. But then we have the doing of the word. Because you can hear the word, you probably know this, and not do it. Indeed, hearing the word and even knowing the word, which is a pastoral sin, or the sin of the theologian, or the sin of the seminary student, or the theological college student. Indeed, hearing the word and even knowing the word is not the same as doing the word. And perhaps Ezra's rule is instructive here. You know Ezra's rule? In Ezra 7 and verse 10, we have a description of Ezra's relationship to the word. We read this, for Ezra had set his heart, that's commitment, set his heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He treasured the word. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord. That's hearing and knowing. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it. Notice the order. Desire, commitment, learning, knowing, doing. And then, because he was a priest, comes the third part, and to teach the Lord statutes and rules to Israel. And the teaching is last. And we're not, by the way, to go from knowing to teaching, but knowing to doing to teaching. And that was Ezra's rule. And in particular, the knowing and doing is so important. Donald Miller, in his best-selling book years ago, Blue Like Jazz, in fact, it was just new about the time I came here in 2008. I think it'd been out for about a year and a half. Blue Like Jazz, he said this, what I believe is not what I say I believe. What I believe is what I do. What I believe is what I do. Or someone else has written, we are what we do. Are you a believer? Show me. Indeed, notice again, verse 22, and James says, and be doers of the word, or as we have it in the New English translation, live out the message. Be doers of the word, live out the message, and not hearers only, or as Peterson puts it, act on what you hear. Hearing, acting. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Indeed, when you hear but you don't do, and you think, well, that's okay, everybody does it. Maybe they do. But it's not okay. And if you think it's okay, you're deceiving yourself. You've short-circuited the plan of God. It's interesting that John in his first letter says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Here James says, if we think that hearing and knowing the word is enough, we deceive ourselves. And so James says, verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face, the face he's always had, from birth until then, looking in a polished piece of metal, maybe bronze, brass. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks, verse 24, at himself. And by the way, he does this and the truth about himself is revealed to him. That's why we don't look in mirrors. Because they do tell us the truth, right? For he looks at himself and the truth about himself is revealed. And then he goes away at once and forgets what he looks like. That is to say that the truth is revealed to him and then he does nothing with it. Indeed, he may very well imagine that nothing needs to be done, which is a deception. But then James says in verse 25, but the one who looks intently into the perfect law, the word of God, the law of liberty, which is an extraordinary expression, the law that brings freedom, I think it is in the New English Bible, or the law that makes us free, which, of course, brings back to our minds Jesus saying to those disciples who were following him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's a great deal of confusion and misunderstanding about that. Well, if I walk with God, it's some kind of bondage. You're living in bondage without God. It's God who makes us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres and sticks with it, like Ezra. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in all that he does. And I'm thinking that James might have had Psalm 1 in mind when he wrote that. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. He takes no counsel from them. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, and those who make fun and hold God in contempt. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates on day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does prospers. Was Dame Julian of Norwich in her book, The Revelation of Divine Love, who says it's not hearing the revelation from God that makes the saint or saves the sinner, but the responding to whatever is revealed. It's not hearing the revelation from God that makes the saint or saves the sinner, but the responding to what is revealed. And so James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And perhaps this morning you have heard something from God, something that especially applies to you in your life, something that you need to do, something that you know God wants you to do. And so I guess the only question left is, will you do it? Will you do it? Hearing the word and doing the word. Amen? Let us pray. How flattered should we be, Lord, that you would even take the time to talk to us? We, in our gospel reading, and the Pharisees and so on, they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They wouldn't speak to sinners. They would speak only to people that they thought were worthy to hear their words. And yet you speak and speak and speak and can be heard almost anywhere in the world. Even in places where the Bible has been outlawed, people can go into coffee shops and hear it and see it electronically because you have graced people whose lives have been changed in those places, who can't keep silent about the things they've seen and heard, and who have become very innovative. And because the love of God has been shed abroad in their hearts, they have to share in whatever way they can. And yet, as the prophet says to the people of God, but you've become dull of hearing. If we've become dull of hearing, Lord, open our ears. If we've become blind, open our hearts. If our hearts have become hearts of stone, make them again hearts of flesh, that when we hear your voice, we can answer and want to answer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.